You are listening to the weekly podcast of Journey Christian Church, located on 441, 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. Today, Lake Mary Campus Pastor Harvey Carpenter will continue with our series called God Never Said That, as we continue to uncover some misbeliefs that we hear in the church today. This time, we will look to this truth in Scripture on the belief of being happy. Our scripture text comes from 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. Today's message is entitled, I Just Want to Be Happy.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like happiness.
That's the kind of song, no matter where you're from or who you are, that song will put a smile on your face. It's just one of those songs that makes you feel happy. My name is Harvey Carpenter, and I am the campus pastor at our Lake Mary campus. And I know some of you have probably visited up there, and I want to bring greetings on behalf of Lake Mary. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. And we are, in fact, in a two-week series, or actually a series we started 2 weeks ago called God Never Said That. And this is a series, by the way, that comes from Life Church in Oklahoma. Craig Groeschel is sort of the designer of this series, but we're taking it to what extent we can and using the information here at Journey. And so last week, as you know, Pastor Randy Green was here, and he talked about, with regard to salvation, God never said it doesn't matter what you do. And today we're going to take sort of another myth that a lot of people believe about maybe something God said, and we're just going to try to explode that myth and talk about the truth of really happiness and how we come about finding true happiness. And so today, we're going to confront the popular misconception about something God never said. And as it said at the very beginning of that happy song, it might seem crazy what I'm about to say, but the truth is God never said, I just want you to be happy. He never said, above all else, my greatest desire for you, my ultimate goal for your life is that you would just be happy. God never said that. I would love to be able to tell you this morning that your personal happiness is God's greatest priority, but it's not. It's one of the biggest misconceptions that Western culture has about the nature of God, that he just wants to make us happy at all costs. And that's simply not the case. And here's the big problem with that kind of thinking. It leads to a crisis of faith, because believing that God's ultimate goal is your personal happiness starts you down a slippery slope leading to many other misunderstandings about the nature of God. And we're going to talk about those misunderstandings today. For example, if God's ultimate goal is just to make you happy, no matter what's going on in your life, then I begin to believe that whatever makes me happy must be right, and whatever makes me sad must be wrong. That's the logical conclusion of that kind of thinking. Sheryl Crow sang a song about this. She said, if it makes you happy, it can't be all that bad. Exactly. Now, that's a great catchy tune, but it's horrible theology, because God never said that. If I accept the belief that God just wants to make me happy, no matter what's going on in my life, then whatever makes me happy must be right, and whatever makes me sad must be wrong. It also leads to this misunderstanding. I start to believe that all my problems and all my discomfort, all my delay, all my risk, all the inconvenience, all the other obstacles I face in my life can't possibly be God's will for me, because his goal is to make me happy, right? And so when we encounter these kinds of things, we question God's will for our lives. And so we buy into this false notion that if something isn't working out the way that I want it to work out and it's not making me happy, well, then it can't be God working in my life, because I'm not that happy. And what we forget is that Jesus himself, in the years that he was on the earth, and especially the 3 years that he was doing ministry, he suffered a lot. Jesus encountered trials and suffering and heartache. He wasn't always happy, but nevertheless, He was always within God's will. God was always working through his life. James tells us in the first chapter of his book that we can and we should be happy in the midst of our trials and suffering, that it's possible to do that. So just because we have difficulties in our life doesn't mean that happiness is one of those elusive kinds of things. And Jesus said this in John 16, 33. He said, in this world, he didn't say you might face trouble. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. See, trouble isn't an indication of God's neglect or God's failure in your life. We need to understand that today. And finally, I think the logical outcome of thinking like this is this. I begin to focus and subtly worship the false gods of comfort and money and pleasure and things. See, if I believe that God just wants to make me happy at all costs, then I'm forced to accept the lie that God exists to serve me and all of my needs. But the truth is, as we all know, God doesn't exist to serve me. I exist to serve him. And when we think God's mission is to serve us, we've effectively reduced the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, the holy one of the universe. We've reduced him down to some sort of cosmic gumball machine where I take my coin and I put it in and I twist the knob. I've done my part. Now, God, I expect you to do your part, and your part, by the way, is to make me happy. And we have this kind of mentality that God's role in our lives is just to make everything okay. And then when everything okay is okay, then somehow we're happy. And without even knowing it, we've turned God into some kind of formula where I say my prayers, and I go to church, and I do some good things, and I give a little money, and I help a neighbor. And then I demand that God take away my heartache and my headache. He give me the job. He give me the house. He give me the car. He give me the girl. Because God, your role is to make me happy. And so many people have this misunderstanding about the nature of God and what he's up to in their life. Because nothing could be further from the truth. And here's the tragedy, again, of this misunderstanding. Many people walk away from God because they thought he was going to make them happy. And he didn't. And so they say things like this: I tried church, but it didn't make me that happy. Or they say, I accepted Jesus, but apparently it didn't work because I'm really not that happy. Or they say, you know, I joined a Bible study group, but I still have pain and sorrow. I'm still sick. My life's not changed that much. And I still have all my problems. I'm not that happy. And if you believe God's role in your life is to do whatever it is to make you happy, and then you're not happy, it causes you to believe that in some way, God must have failed you in your life. But that's not the case. God didn't fail you. You started out with the wrong presupposition. And it led you down a path to a misunderstanding of the nature of God and a warped view of what it means to truly be happy. I heard about this little girl who was attending a wedding for the very first time. She went with her parents, and so she was sitting next to her mother, and she reached over to her mother during the wedding, and she asked her mother this question. She said, Mommy, why is the bride wearing a white dress? And the mom reached over to the little girl, and she said, well, she's wearing white because white is the color of happiness, and this is the happiest day of her life. And so the little girl thought about that for a moment, and then she reached over and asked her mom, so then why is the groom wearing black? So now that I've not with that joke necessarily, but now that I've depressed everyone about telling you that God's role in your life is not to make you happy, and you're thinking, oh man, I really thought that's what he was going to do for me. I want to qualify this just a little bit, because God is pleased when we are happy. He delights in our happiness. You need to understand that. There are a number of verses in the Bible that talk about how pleased God is when we do rejoice. It's just not his singular mission for your life. But God does rejoice when we're happy. Our happiness does bring glory to God, and he rejoices. Because what father doesn't want their children to be happy? I mean, I'm a father. I want my kids to be happy. if you're a father, if you're a parent, you want your children to be happy. So we understand the joy that a father has when his kids are happy. God's not really much different with us than that. He rejoices in our happiness. But as a father, as a parent, is your single goal in life to make your kid happy? The answer to that's no. You want him to be happy, but that's not your goal in life. My daughter, Kayla, just graduated from college. And she graduated with a degree in biomedical sciences. And 2 months ago, we were at her graduation. And as parents, we were very proud. Obviously, she walked across that stage in front of thousands of people, and she received her diploma. And she was thrilled as well. After 4 years of hard work, to finally be rewarded for all of that effort that she put into the school, and she received her diploma. And so at that moment, we were very happy parents, as you might imagine. Any parent would be. But her happiness is not our highest priority. Imagine this scenario. What if, as she was coming across the stage on that day, one of her professors had stood up in the audience and said, wait a minute, no. She doesn't deserve that diploma because we found out that she has cheated on her exam, and so she doesn't deserve it. Don't give her the diploma. What if something like that would have happened? Would we be happy parents? No, at that point, we would be embarrassed parents. We wouldn't be very happy, and it would be for us a moment of sadness. But imagine if a parent would just to say, you know what? That's no big deal. We're still going to be happy for her no matter what. Even though she may have cheated on the exam or even though she may have stolen her degree, we're still going to just be thrilled for her. Does that make any kind of sense? And the answer to that is, of course, no. But yet many of us treat God just like that. Hey, God, you should be happy with me, and you should make me happy no matter what I think and no matter what I do. You should be all about my happiness. And many people live life in pursuit of everything except Jesus and think God should bend over backwards to make them happy. And that's why I'm going to insist this morning that God does not want us to pursue as our life mission happiness. He wants us to pursue him. Look what it says in Psalm 97:12. It says, may all who are godly, what's the word? Rejoice. That word can also be translated and is in some versions translated, be happy. May all who are godly rejoice or be happy. But how? The very next phrase tells us how we are to rejoice and be happy. It says, rejoice and be happy in the Lord. It's not in a possession, it's in a person. It's not in a circumstance, it's in a relationship with Jesus. And then it goes on to say, not only are we to be happy in the Lord, but we are to derive this happiness from doing what? Praising his holy name. So let's dig a little deeper now that we've got a foundation about this. I want to show you two reasons why God doesn't want you to pursue happiness at all costs. Here's the first one. God doesn't want me to pursue happiness if in my pursuit of it, it causes me to do something sinful or something wrong. 2 weeks ago, my family took a vacation on a cruise. We were on a Carnival cruise, Carnival Splendor, in fact. And we went to the Caribbean. It was an awesome cruise. It was a great vacation. But when I got back from the cruise, I was interested in that ship. And so I did a little research on the ship. And I found out that there are some things that have happened on that ship over the course of its years of voyages that aren't that happy. And so I found this one story about this family that were on the same ship that my family was on. At dinner one evening, this married couple began to argue very loudly. And everyone in the massive dining room started to notice that they were fighting. And then the wife took her wine glass, so the story goes, and she flung it across the table and hit her husband, and then he retaliated in exactly the same way. Now people aren't just glancing, people are staring. Then came her plate with food, and his came flying back. Now people aren't just staring, people are scrambling for the exits because a full-blown fight has broken out in the dining room of this cruise ship. Now her family is with her, and her brothers are there. And her brothers, as the story goes, jump up from their table and they jump on her husband. And they start beating him pretty badly. Broken glass is everywhere now because plates have been flying. And he grabs a shard of broken glass and he cuts one of the brothers, as the story goes. And the guy ultimately dies from his wounds. This is how bad this fight is. The whole place is cleaned out. Finally, the security arrives and they are able to stop the fight and put an end to this melee. But what was supposed to be a week of restfulness and bliss turned into a nightmare of death and destruction for this family. And probably some of the other passengers on the ship were not too happy either. And here's my point. You can't even count on finding happiness on a luxury cruise ship in the middle of the Caribbean. It's not guaranteed. I mean, things can go sideways pretty quick. There's no guarantee that you'll find genuine happiness in those kinds of situations because genuine happiness is never the result of unwise or wrong or sinful action. Sin always leads to the same unfortunate place. And look what the Bible says that is. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death." Now here's the second reason that God does not want us to pursue happiness at all costs. God doesn't want me to pursue happiness if my pursuit of it is based solely on the things of this world. Here's the happiness formula that our culture teaches us is true. Here's what they say. If you have better possessions, newer, faster, shinier, bigger things, plus the right relationship, plus some thrilling experiences like the perfect cruise vacation or some fun theme park vacations or whatever that might be, plus some peaceful circumstances, absence of conflict in your life, get along with everyone, plus the perfect appearance, they say if you have all of those things right there, you will undoubtedly be happy. Now, what they would say is, if you're not with the right one, you need to trade up for the right one. Find someone better, who's newer or younger, has the perfect appearance. Even if they have to tuck it, pluck it, lift it, puff it, smooth it, shave it, whatever. Do whatever you need to do. And they say if you have all these things, better possessions, peaceful circumstances, thrilling experiences, the right relationship, and the perfect appearance, then you'll be happy. And that's 100% incorrect. 100% wrong. Let me give you an example of that. In 2014, Microsoft, the company, paid $2.5 billion to acquire another company called Mojang AB. This is the company that developed the game, the worldwide sensation called Minecraft. And some of you probably are familiar with that. And so they paid the owner of this company, Marcus Pearson, $1 billion. And then his net worth, according to Forbes, was $1.3 billion last year. But on August the 29th, last summer, he posted a series of tweets while he was out having fun with his friends. And these tweets captured his gnawing sense of unhappiness and satisfaction. But let me remind you, he has $1.3 billion. Here's what he said. Here's his first tweet at 4:48 a.m. Okay, that tells you something right there, right? 4:48 in the morning, he's out, and he says, the problem, here's what he types, the problem with getting everything is you run out of reasons to keep trying. And human interaction becomes impossible due to imbalance. He's having some trouble relating to people, and he's feeling out of touch, although he has everything that most of us think this world says will make you happy. 2 minutes later, he tweets again. Hanging out in Ibiza, it's a little island off the coast of Spain where a lot of people go to party. He says, I'm there with a bunch of friends, and we're partying with famous people, able to do whatever I want, and I've never felt more isolated. He's lonely. How can that possibly be? We think. This should be the happiest guy in the world. He has $1.3 billion. Doesn't that make you happy? He tweets again 2 more minutes later. He says, when we sold the company, the biggest effort went into making sure the employees got taken care of, and now they all hate me. He's feeling hatred coming his way. 3 minutes later, his last tweet, found a great girl, but she's afraid of me and my lifestyle and went with a normal person. Now he's feeling rejected. We don't say all this to make light of his life. We say this to remind ourselves that the way this world tells us that we secure happiness in possessions and things, in comfort, that's not where you find it. Because even the richest people in the world who are on wonderful vacations in exotic places or on cruise ships, without Christ in their life, find themselves unsatisfied and in misery and unhappy most of the time. You see, the glittering images of this world dazzle us and they make us dizzy with longings that we think will improve our happiness quotient. The problem is these things are always changing. There's this ever-changing element to our circumstances. That's why no one's really happy all the time with the things of this world. How do I know that? Well, you buy a car, and a year, 2 years later, you're thinking, I'd like to have a new car. Everything is always changing. If you need what's next to make you happy, you suffer from what one writer calls destination disease. And what he means by that is we get so focused on the then and the there that we don't take much joy or happiness in the here and the now. So we think in our minds, well, when I go to college or when I graduate from college or when I get a job or a promotion or when I retire or when I get married or when I have kids, then I will be happy. But the reality is, no, you won't. Because if you're not happy where you are now, a vacation's not going to solve your problem. If you aren't happy with who you are, Botox is not going to fix that. Just not. You'll be unhappy with Botox. You see, God does not want you to be happy when that happiness is based solely on the things of this world. How do I know that? Because John, in his gospel, is pretty clear and direct in the remarks that he makes. And here's what he says. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, he says, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires, he says, will pass away. But whoever loves, or rather, whoever does the will of God, lives forever. That's why I believe with all of my heart that God does not want us to pursue happiness. God wants us to pursue holiness. Happiness is not the goal. It's the byproduct of pursuing a relationship with Jesus. That's what we need to understand today. God never said, I just want you to be happy. What he said was, I want you to be holy. Leviticus 12:19 makes it pretty clear. But just as God is holy, it says, be holy in all that you do. You see, true and lasting happiness comes not from the circumstances that take place around us, but from the presence of Jesus within us. I'm going to say that again because I want you to catch this. True and lasting happiness comes not from the circumstances that take place around our lives, but from the presence of Jesus within our lives. We need to understand that today. So many people miss this fact that it was God who invented happiness. He was the one that came up with the idea of laughter. He's the one that created this beautiful world that we live in and gave us 5 senses to enjoy his creation. It gives him pleasure when we take joy in what he has created. Our pleasure gives him pleasure. And I think since we look at ourselves, since we know that we like to be happy, we want to be happy, and we're created in the image of God, he must be happy, he must be a joyous God. How much more joyous is he than we are? He's the one that came up with the whole concept and the whole idea. He must radiate happiness. You know, Jesus was happy, although if you look at some of the paintings that I've seen of Jesus, especially from the Middle Ages, he doesn't look too happy. He looks more like a zombie. You know, his eyes are all weird. He's never smiling. I think that was just the culture of the time. But that's how it is. It's like, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? That doesn't look like the Jesus I think of when I think of who Jesus really is. Scriptures tell us that holiness is the key to real happiness. And I think the most holy person who ever walked the planet was Jesus. So consequently, Jesus was the happiest guy ever, right? And we find joy in knowing that the one whom we serve and the one who saves us was a person of holiness and happiness. The Bible's full of words like joy and rejoice and blessing and happiness and peace. Those kinds of words are throughout the whole scriptures. Happiness is a natural result of knowing God and experiencing his love. Time and time again, the Bible describes what it means to be a true follower of God, and it almost always uses the phrase or some word like blessed or happy. Max Lucado, the author, tells a fish story. He says, if you take a fish out of the water and put it on the beach, he says, will that fish be happy? Yes or no? Yes or no, you think? No, of course not. He says, and the reason it's not going to be happy is there's no water there. So what if we take and give the fish that's laying now on the beach something besides water? Let's give the fish a wad of cash, maybe $1,000. Is that going to make the fish happy? Yes or no? No, of course not. But let's just even go a little further. Let's say we buy a nice beach chair and an umbrella. We stick it right there, and now the fish is in the shade. Is the fish going to be happy in the sand, in the shade, with the money? Yes or no? Absolutely not. And the reason is because the fish was not created for the sand. The fish was created for the ocean. And here's the point. If you have everything this world has to offer, will you be happy? Yes or no? Don't get confused. Exactly right. No, you will not, because you were not made to pursue the things of this world. You were created to pursue God. Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, including happiness, will be added unto you. It's a matter of priorities. You are created to glorify God and to pursue him. And perhaps it's time for all of us, me included, to lower our expectations of worldly things, because they don't really supply the happiness that we hope that they will. So a new car, a new house, a new job, a new person's not going to satisfy the deepest longings of my heart, because there's a God-shaped hole in my heart that only Jesus Christ can fill. And some of you know what I'm talking about, because you've tried everything this world has to offer to provide for you happiness. You've partied your brains out. You've consumed everything you can. You've rearranged your body. You've traded one person in for another. You've moved from this job to that job, from this city to that city, and you're still not happy. Not really. And you long for something more meaningful, something real, something worth living for, and something worth dying for. And the Apostle Paul brings clarity to this whole purpose of living and purpose of dying thing when he says in Philippians chapter 1 these words. He says, I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. For to me, he says, living means living for Christ. And dying, he says, well, that's even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires, he says. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, he says, it's better that I continue to live. Knowing this, he says, I'm convinced that I will remain alive so that I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy or the happiness of your faith. Paul's a great example of what it means to be happy in the midst of misery. You know Paul's story just a little bit. He went through some really tough times in his life. Just to mention a few, he was in jail in Caesarea for 2 years on false charges. That never makes a person happy. And then he wanted to go to Rome, so he was put on a ship and was sent to Rome. But on the way, the ship sank, and he spent a whole night lost at sea. He finally is washed aboard a deserted island, and while there, he's bitten by the snake, a poisonous snake, and he almost dies. But his life is saved once again, and then he's put back on another ship, and he finally makes it to Rome, but he's a prisoner in Rome. He's chained 24/7 to a guard. He has no privacy, and you would think that he has every reason to be bitter, because he does. He has every reason to be unhappy. He has every reason to be depressed and to have a pity party. But instead, what does Paul do? He writes a book on happiness. He writes a book on joy called Philippians. And he says in verse 22, but if I continue to live, he says, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better, continue to live or to die and be with Christ. He's pulled in two different directions, and he wants very much to be with Christ. he says, which is far better. But for your sake, he says, it's important for me to remain alive. Don't miss what he says here. He's not saying, I want to remain alive because I want to remain alive. It's not for my sake. He says it's for your sake, the people whom he's writing this letter to. And here's the amazing thing. Paul doesn't just have a reason for living. He also has a reason for dying. We talk about purpose in life a lot as believers of Jesus. But do you have a purpose in death? Paul says about his life, it doesn't matter whether I live or die. I've got a purpose. He says, I've got a purpose either way. On earth, he says, my purpose is to pursue holiness, to pursue Jesus, to serve God and to serve other people. That's what leads to a blessed life. And the question is, how do we serve God today? If we wanted to model Paul's life, how do we serve God today? We can't serve God directly. We don't have access to God directly, but we serve God by serving other people. We serve others. When we give someone a cup of water in the name of Jesus, or when we help an orphan, or when we care for someone who's sick, or when we assist someone who's in need, or we educate the next generation, or we fight corruption in some way, or we plant a church, or any number of things, we're serving in the name of Christ. So when Paul says, I'm alive, and my purpose is simply to serve Christ by serving others, he says, when I die, my purpose is to be with Christ. If I can remain alive, my purpose is to serve. He says, either way, I'm a winner. Either way, I win. And I don't want you to miss this point, because this is, most people zoom right by this. The reason why most people are miserable and unhappy is because they think that happiness comes from self-gratification. In other words, if I acquire more, if I experience more, if I attain more, I'll be happier. But it doesn't work like that. Self-gratification is not the way to happiness. The road to happiness is self-sacrifice. It's giving yourself away. Paul says, the reason I'm happy is because as long as I'm alive, I'm giving my life away to other people. So here's my question for all of us today. Are you doing that? Are you giving your life away? Because that's where you find true happiness. Are you giving yourself away? Because if you're living for yourself, I can tell you right now, you're not very happy. You're just not. Because happiness doesn't come from status, and it doesn't come from salary. It doesn't come from things. It comes from giving ourselves away and pursuing holiness. So on your outline there, you'll see the last verse that I want to mention today. And it's the verse in 21 of Paul's writing where he says, "For to me, living means living for Christ." And dying, he says, is even better. Is that true about you? Could you say that about your life? Let me ask you this question. If somebody came up to you today and asked you to fill out that blank that's at the end of your outline, what word would you stick in that blank? For me to live is, what word would you put there? Would you put entertainment? You live for entertainment? All the video games and the movies and just having fun? Entertainment? Is that what you would put there? For me to live is sports. You all about the sports? That's what you think brings you true happiness, golf, baseball, football, whatever. For me to live is shopping. I just want more clothes. Is that you? For me to live is money. For me to live is family. For me to live is friends. Now listen, there are a lot of good answers that you could put in that blank. But there's only one answer that will make you truly and eternally happy. And that answer is Christ. How you fill in that blank, listen to me, and we're going to close with this. How you fill in that blank will determine how happy you are in this life. It will. It'll determine how happy you are in this life. You want to be happy? Then decide to truly live for Jesus Christ. I want to invite you today as we come to the end of our time here to just bow with me and let me lead us in a word of prayer together. Father, we are grateful for your love for us. And we know that in every way, your desire for us is to be blessed and to experience the joy that comes not from this world, because there is no joy in the things of this world. Yeah, sometimes they make life easier and more convenient, and there's some comfort qualities that we derive from the stuff, but we don't find true happiness in the circumstances of this life. It only comes from the one who created happiness and who fills the void within our heart with the true meaning of happiness, which is Jesus Christ. I pray for all who are here today to have hearts that are open to Jesus, to not be closed off to the spiritual things that bring true fulfillment and true happiness into our lives. Help us, Lord, to just realize that you are for us and you're not against us. You want us to experience the true joy that comes from knowing you. This joy that the Bible describes as a peace that passes all understanding. It's indescribable, unexplainable, but it comes from only one place, and that is you and you alone. And so today we are people with hands that are open, hearts that are open, lives that are open to receive from you the blessings that you would bestow upon us. And it begins by believing and trusting and following Jesus. That's our prayer today. And I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. I just want to be happy with Lake Mary Campus Pastor Harvey Carpenter. For service times and more information about Jordy Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at jordychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-88-4-7223.